Well, thank you, Brandy. Now, a lot of our folks know Brent and Brandy, Greg, and they were, like I said, they were on staff. We've known Brent, well, Brandy as well, since they were kids. Brandy really little, I guess, and not too well, along the way there. Brent showed up at Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland, where I was on staff. Janet was on staff. He actually played trombone in Janet's band at the high school I met when she was the teacher there. And I've said this before, some of you mentioned this. He moved into the area from West Virginia and decided he wanted to go to a Christian school. And I'm not sure what all the details was, but basically if he wanted to go to Christian school, he was going to have to work his way through Christian school. So that's what he did. He decided he was going to pay his own tuition and go to Christian school. And he has worked hard. He worked his way through college, and he was on staff down at Church of the Open Door, taught Bible and some of the things down there, worked with the children's ministries, and he was here for a few years and appreciated that. And then the Lord called him down. Right now he's pastoring in Danville, Virginia. And I called him up, thought about him, oh, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, whatever it was, and I called him up and said, you're going to be up this way, because their family's still up this area. And I said, you're going to be in town anytime visiting your family. I want you to come and preach and have Brandy sing for us. And so this past week, they were down. He was in Hanover area here, between here and Hanover, Spring Grove area there, Penn Grove Park. Some of you know where Penn Grove, used to be called Pamadiva out there. And he was helping to put on a children's camp there. And he was there for the week, and so he'd been tired. He blew out his back and all kinds of stuff. Not as young as he used to be. Yeah. But anyway, I thought while I was in town, we have him come preach for us. So I appreciate it. Pastor Brent, would you please give us what's on your heart?
Turn this thing on. Good to see you this morning. Glad to be here. Looking forward to preaching here this morning. Now, I told somebody earlier, don't tell Pastor, but I don't have a Father's Day message. So don't tell him. Now, I did have one. I'd put it off to the side, and so I'm going to do what one of my gentlemen down there that preaches for me while I'm gone, his name's Brother Roy, he does two messages every day that he preaches. He calls it his mini message, and then he'll preach his main message. So this mini message is this: we need some fathers that are following this and showing in the household some spiritual leadership. That's what we need. Especially today, in this day and age, and how we're seeing the children and teen running in the wrong direction and following after the world and running away from church. We want them in church. And so we need some fathers that are doing some spiritual leadership. We need some fathers that are having the leading of the Holy Spirit in the house as well. We've got to have that. And if we don't have that, then the children aren't going to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit as well. We have to have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's my mini message. I got another one for you. Ready? You got to have some love of God in the household as well. And that's the hard one. If we love God, we're going to love our children. If we love God, we're going to love our spouses. If we love God. And a lot of times we stop loving God, we stop reading our Bibles, we stop praying, and guess what? We stop loving our families as well. We become selfish and overwhelmed. And since this is Father's Day, I have something here for you this morning just to help out the ladies here this morning. We're going to be in Psalm 98 if you want to turn there while I'm giving you this. Psalm 98 is where I'm going to be here this morning. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. Thankful that Pastor invited me. And I always look forward to preaching the Word. And I know that my church is being taken care of at this point in time as well. But Psalm 98 is where we're going to be. To help the ladies out this morning, I thought I would give some things from the men's thesaurus. And this is to help you ladies understand what men are saying when they say certain things. Let me give you an example just to start you off here. And again, just to be for your benefit, ladies. When a man says it would take too long to explain, what he really means is he has no idea what he is doing. Right? That's the first one. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard. What he means is, I can't hear the game over your vacuuming. Okay. So, when a man says, that's interesting, dear, what he really means is, are you still talking? When a man says, it's a guy thing, He means there is no rational thought pattern with this, and there's no way that you're going to make it logical. I'm telling on us, guys. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. When a man says, "Can I help with dinner?" what he really means is, "Why isn't it ready yet?" When a man says, "Uh-huh, sure, honey," "Oh, yes, dear," he means absolutely nothing. It's just a conditioned response. When a man says, "You know how bad my memory is," what he means is, "I can remember the theme, the entire theme of Hogan's Heroes, but I cannot remember anything else, especially not your birthday." When a man says, "Oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal," what he means is, "I have probably severed a limb and I need to go to the hospital." When a man says, "I can't find it," he means it didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I am completely clueless. When a man says, "I heard you," what he really means is, "I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough to get away with it for the next 3 days. When a man says, "You know, I could never love anyone else," he means, I'm used to the way you yell at me, and I realize it could be worse. No, that's not true. That's not true. When a man says, "I'm not lost, I know exactly where I am," he means no one will ever see us alive again. When a man says, "That's not what I meant," he means if something I said can be interpreted two ways and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. I'm skipping a few of these. If your husband says, "Honey, what color is this?" he means all men see in only 16 colors, like Windows default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color, and pumpkin is also a fruit. I have no idea what taupe is. So there you go. That's what we mean when we say the things that we say. Look at Psalm number 98. Psalm 98 in your Bibles here this morning. And it's so funny that Pastor Walsh had no clue what I was preaching on this morning, and he preached a mini message at the very beginning after the first hymn. He preached this mini message in verse number 1. It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." You had no clue, but he was already preaching my message. It's a good thing he didn't have my points here. Sing unto the Lord a new song. "For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation unto his," "salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, and with a harp and the voice of the psalm, with the trumpet and the sound of cornets. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness. Shall he judge the world and the people with equity." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with the message here this morning. That you'll speak to the hearts of those that are here. May we learn as fathers to praise you. Our children need to see us get excited about the Word of God and excited about everything that has to do with you, Lord. And I pray that you'll help us this morning to realize that we have something to sing about. So many things that you've done for us. So many things that you have blessed us with. So many things that are right in front of us. And yet, we ignore them because of burdens and difficulties and hardships and our own selfishness. Lord, don't let us be that way. But help us to realize that we have something to sing about. God be with us, and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, the title of my message is Something to Sing About this morning. I'm looking forward to preaching it to you. I had to say one more thing before I get in. Again, just thankful to be here, and I wanted to say your spiritual gift is dodgeball. Is that what you said? Well, apparently my spiritual gift is not kickball or dodgeball, because that is how I hurt myself at camp, and I have been low in the back, and I just wanted to say that before I get into it this morning. What a psalm that we see here this morning, an amazing psalm of praise. Do you realize that we have so much to sing about? Listen, I know what it's all about. There's a lot of us that can say, well, we can't sing. We couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And, you know, there's oftentimes I've tried to bribe my wife into letting me sing with her, but for some odd reason, she won't let me sing, Pastor. I'm not really sure. I think it's because I'm not very good at it. But I love to sing. I enjoy singing. I enjoy singing in the car. People probably think I'm crazy, but I enjoy it. I enjoy singing songs and having a melody in my heart at all times, and that's the way it should be, because we have something to sing about. And this morning, this psalm tells us so many things that we have to sing about. Do we serve a great God? Yes, we do. Is God worthy of our praise? Yes, He is. God is certainly one that is worthy of praise because of all the things that He has done for me and you. Here's the thing. Half the time we come and we praise God on Sunday mornings, we praise God on Sunday evenings, we praise God on Wednesdays, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we don't seem to have a song in our heart. An old children's song that I love to sing goes like this, and I'm going to sing, so please don't, if your ears are bleeding, I'm sorry, but an old children's song that I love to sing, it's called Glory, Glory, Glory. It says, on Sunday I am happy, on Monday full of joy, on Tuesday I have peace within that nothing can destroy, on Wednesday and on Thursday I'm walking in the light, oh Friday there's a heaven below and Saturday's always bright. And then it goes, and some of the children might even know it. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah, I am saved and bound for the happy land. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory to the Lamb. I sang that wrong. Oh, hallelujah, I am saved, and I am so glad I am. I did it backwards, but that works. But listen, we have a day, every day we need to be praising God, because we have something to sing about. God has done some great things for us. God wants every part of us and every part of our life to honor and exalt His presence, to let people around us know who our God is. You know, this world has many gods, and our God is not named Dollar. The name of our God is not Kathy or George or Trevor. His name is not whatever feels good or right. He wants the world to know you have a God, and that He is the Lord of your life. He's the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. He wants the world to know through your life, through your testimony, through your affections, your attitude, that you love Him and He's God. He's a great God. But the reality is that you and I still have trouble recognizing it every day of our lives. We come together, we get excited, we might even get excited by Pastor Walsh's singing and Pastor's message, and we get excited about it, and we go out and we're thrilled, but as soon as some hardship happens in life, our excitement goes away and we forget about God. I'm still in my introduction, by the way. We forget about Him. But listen, we've got so much to be thankful for. You have just as much of a reason to praise God on Monday as you do today. And in everything you do, you need to be praising Him and thanking Him for all the great things He has done. In Psalm 98, as we read these verses, the psalmist has said so in Psalm 98, to sing a new song unto the Lord, to praise Him. And out of all the psalms, when you look at the Bible, this is, I would say, one of the noisiest ones. Psalm 95 is pretty close to that. And in Psalm 95, you can see that it's pretty loud and joyful, as it says in verse number 1, if you look at it with me, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. You see, some of us, that's all we can make. I'm with you, all right? I understand. We can make it just a joyful noise. There's a song that the choir likes to sing at my church, And it says, look at all the happy people as we come into the church and in the people of God. Look at all the smiling faces. And I can't help but laugh as I'm sitting in my seat looking out and everybody's going. And the choir's there, look at all the happy faces. I can't even remember how it goes. And I'm looking, I'm going, wait a minute, I don't see any happy faces. I'm going to turn around and look at the choir. So I turn around at the choir and I go, yeah, let's see some happy faces. And you know what? We ought to have some happy faces. We ought to sing with a joyful noise, whether we think we can sing or not. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 95 is a pretty loud psalm. But you know, Psalm 98 is one of praise. And in Psalm 98, I've got for you this morning some things to show you what we have to sing about. What do you have to sing about? Well, first of all, hey, we have a reason to sing because, number one, He always brings something new to sing about. Are you with me? He always brings something new to sing about. He says in verse 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The meaning of this beginning there where it says to sing to the Lord a new song, it means to take a stroll. Remember, the idea, what it is here, is to have a song in our hearts while we go about our daily business. And you know what? He's always going to give you something new to sing about that day. Look for the blessings of God. Count your blessings. Have you noticed that song says, count your blessings? It's not count your blessing. We'd be done really quick, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have much to praise Him about, but we have so many things to praise God for. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. On Monday, God might bring you a blessing. And you know, if we're looking for that blessing, we'll find it, and we can praise God for something new to sing about. You know, you're not going to be singing my song. You're not going to be singing pastor's song. You're not going to be singing anybody else's other than yours and what God has done for you. He might not bless you like He blesses me on Monday. Are you with me? He might provide for you something simple. You know, I like it when I get a coffee. How many of you like coffee? All right, the rest of you, well, you're going to be surprised when it's at the Lord's Supper in heaven, all right? It's going to be there. I like coffee, and I love it. Man, if somebody brings me a coffee, I was sitting in my office working on some, we got some new pew Bibles and putting some stickers in there, and one of the men from the church called and said, oh, you're working on the Bibles? I said, yes. He said, you want a Starbucks coffee? I said, let me think about this. Yes, I would love a Starbucks coffee. And you know what a blessing it was to receive such a simple thing. Sometimes God will give us just little things to have us sing a song unto Him of praise. And you know what? We got to have that in our hearts. We got to discover something new. We got to be looking for something new on a daily basis. Listen, there's so much that we can learn about God and discover about Him that is new and fresh. And we can spend every day from now until death praising God for all that He is and find something new every day to praise Him for. You read your Bible. Here, want me to help you out? He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting God. The true God. My Lord and my God. God my Savior. He is the God of the whole earth. Emmanuel, God with us. The highest Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, the God of hosts, the strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our glory, the great I am, the Almighty who is and was and is to come, the Creator of all things, the upholder of all things, the everlasting Father, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the way, the truth, and the life, the Word, and hey, here's a good one, the Savior of all mankind that trusts in Him. Hey, you got something new to sing about, don't you? Why do we have to sing? Why do we have to sing? Because we have something new. He always brings something new for us to sing. The second reason found in Psalm 98, for the why should we sing? Because He has done marvelous things. Look at verse 1 with me. It says, He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The psalmist gives us some reasons we ought to have a new song in our hearts each and every day. And the verse tells us that He has done some marvelous and great things, some hard things, some wonderful things, some miraculous things. And what are some, think about it. What are some of the things in your life that God has done for you that can only be explained as God Himself? I remember when I took on the church down there in Danville, Virginia. Good old Danville. I'm a Yankee, by the way, according to them. And I'm an outsider. I'm a Yankee. So I'm with you. All right. But you know, good old down there in Danville, when I first started preaching, I started preaching in the first couple months that I was there. A gentleman came to me. And you know what? He tried to steal my blessing. You know what he said to me? He said, "You're a Yankee." And he said, "I'm going to tar and feather you and run you out on a rail." And I said, "Good to meet you, sir. Love you. I'm glad you're here. God bless you." And you know what? I was determined that God was going to get the praise in some instance. And you know what? God has always provided for each and every one of us. Now back to that story. I'm there in the first 2 months, and it was, I guess, right before the service on a Sunday morning, I got a phone call. My dad says, "Your mom had a major heart attack." I'd only been there for a couple months, and I'm about ready to stand up and preach, and I just got the information that my mom is in the hospital, and I don't know if she's going to make it. My heart was broken. I was overwhelmed. But you know, now that I look back, God provided for me that day. I was able to stand up and preach the Word of God. And my mom's still living and getting much better. You know what? God does some marvelous things. We may not understand it. The doctors may not understand it. But God knows what He is doing. And He does some marvelous things, some difficult things, some hard things that we may not be able to think that we can get through. That's why Paul says, and was able to proclaim and praise God in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 57. He says, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is a law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Only we can say that as Christians. That's why we got to get out and proclaim the name of the Lord so they can see why we have a reason to praise. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. I remember I used to struggle with this. I have a fear of car accidents. I've always had a fear of car accidents, and I've always been afraid of that. But you know what? Hey, if it happens, it happens. If it's my time to go, I get to be in heaven. Who cares? Who cares? Sorry. I didn't mean to leave my kids there. But you know, I'm looking forward to that day. And you know what? I don't need to fear death. I have something to praise God for. Do you? Do you? We do. Because He's done some marvelous things. Why else do we have something to sing about? Because He brings us something new to sing about. Because He has done marvelous things. And the third thing is because God sent us salvation. Look at verse number 2 with me. It says, "The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of earth have seen the salvation of our God." What? He provides us salvation. How did Jesus secure the victory? He secured victory through the death on the cross. He purchased our sin on that cross. All we have to do is trust in Him and Him alone, and we'll get to spend eternity with Him. We don't have to go to hell because of our sins, even though we deserve it. The writer was originally had in mind some act of salvation that was brought to Israel to deliver his people from bondage, maybe from another nation. And Israel had faced that many times. They were in Egypt in bondage, and God saved them. They were in Babylon, and God delivered them. And each and every time that He did, He made sure that the whole world knew that He was God, and He was. Can I get an amen to that? And you know what He did when Jesus was up on that cross, standing on high on top of a mountain where everybody could see in Jerusalem? Everybody saw the salvation of God. And we got to be proclaiming it too. We have something to sing about. He's given us salvation. Look at your own life. Think of your own testimony. Think about what God has done for you. And you know what? It's our job as Christians is to make it known to everyone that He has changed our lives. When I was 15 years old, grew up in Lewisburg, West Virginia, a small town out in the middle of nowhere. Now they're big stuff because they got a Walmart. So they're a big town now. And grew up there, and I didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew there was a God. I looked around, and I didn't believe the evolution that was being taught in the schools, and I didn't believe any of that stuff, but I knew there was a God, but I didn't know anything about Him. Often I would stand outside and look at the stars and just pray, and I didn't know if He could hear me. I didn't know anything about Him. I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, and I went to many vacation Bible schools, and I don't remember hearing about Jesus. I remember one time going to a charismatic church. And all I can remember, I don't remember anything about Jesus, but all I remember is this hair on this woman that was this high. That's all I can keep my eyes on. I was a little kid. I was scared to death. I wasn't sure if that thing was going to stay up there or not. But I didn't hear about Jesus. And I moved to Maryland. My father had gotten knocked down in his job and his position, and he decided to get a job up in Maryland with my cousins. And when we moved up here, I said, I don't want to go to the public school. I want to go to Christian school. And so we worked it out to where I'd go to the Christian school, and I started working at Walmart. And one day my cousin said to me, I'd been going to the Christian school, I'd heard it in the chapels, I'd heard it from the teachers, and one day my cousin said, why don't you go to church with me tonight? So we went to church, the open door, and I sat in the service, and I didn't hear anything that man said, Pastor Norris Belcher, except for that you need Christ or you're going to spend eternity in hell. And as he asked for people to raise their hand and saying, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, I raised my hand, and my cousin grabbed me by the arm and she said, it's time to go, Brent. I'm glad she did, because I wasn't going to get up. She says, it's time to go. And she took me forward, and I trusted Christ that day. And you know what? He changed my life completely. He changed my life. I'm not the man I used to be. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. He changed me. We need to be proclaiming that. And how do we proclaim it? By praising God for what He has done. It's cause for celebration. It's cause for praise. Praise God. Why else should we have something? What else do we have to sing about? Why should we sing? Because He has given us something new to sing about. Because He has done marvelous things. Because He sent us salvation. And because of who He is. Let's look at the verses here. As it says in verse 2 and 3, again we'll look through those and then go to verse 4 again. It says, the Lord hath made known His salvation, His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know that verse right there, make a joyful noise? That word noise is the Hebrew word ruah. I guess we could say it this way. If we were a Marine, we would say, hoorah! It means a quick blast of praise. Christians would say, amen, praise the Lord, or shake that bush, whatever you want to say. I've heard that one before. But it's a quick shout of praise. Doesn't he deserve it? There's been times in my church where I've gotten all excited. I've told them. I've threatened them. I said, I will preach longer. I've got more sermons on here, and I will open it up, and we will have another sermon if I don't hear you say amen. I have came down the steps, gotten in the pew, and said, amen, preacher, and then came back up. But one time, I was saying that. I said, if you guys don't say amen, I'm going to keep preaching. And Brody, my little seven-year-old boy, he's seven, right? He's eight. Oh, man, I just missed it. That's right. He just turned eight. He was out here in the pew, and he goes, amen, Daddy. I go, well, I guess I don't have to preach that second sermon. We ought to praise God with a shout. Amen. There's nothing wrong with saying amen. There's nothing wrong with saying praise the Lord. He deserves our praise because of who He is. Hey, the Bible says, make an amen, joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of psalms, with the trumpet and the sound of cornets. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Listen, He is an almighty God that deserves to be praised, and we ought to praise Him. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. He's done so much for us. Listen, you got to shout because of who He is. You got to sing because of who He is. He's the Lord, the King. He reigns. He is still on the throne. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. Have you watched the news? I don't watch the news. It's depressing. And if my wife watches it, she yells at the TV. So I don't let her watch it either. I love you, dear, but she does. She does. So I don't let her watch it. I don't do it. I don't. Because it's depressing. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't understand what's going on. I spilled my coffee this morning on the way to church. I can't say amen. Ooh, okay. Wait a minute. Hold it. God is still God, even when you spill your coffee. God is still God. He's still in control. Hey, He has reason to be praised. The devil's not in charge. Obama's not in charge. The Democrats and the Republicans aren't in charge. The NAACP is not in charge. Hey, they don't have control of things. The communists don't run the world. The future isn't left to fate. There is a king on the throne, and he has every right. We have every right to praise him. Celebrate God. Praise Him. The Bible says here in the verses, let the seas roar. Do you understand that even if we don't praise God, the Bible says, and Jesus said it Himself as they were praising Him up on the mountain and saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in the heaven and the glory in the highest. And He said to His disciples and the multitudes, He said, and answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out praises to God. Hey, the oceans praise God. The Bible says here, let the seas roar and the fullness thereof. Let the floods clap. Did you catch that? Let the floods clap. Did you catch that? The floods in Texas. Hey, yeah, it's a big disaster, but guess what they're doing? They're praising God. They're in His control. God deserves to be praised. Let the seas roar. Why else should we praise God? Why else should we be worshiping Him? Why else do we have something to sing about? Why are you so miserable? Why are we so miserable? We're Christians. We got something to sing about. Why? Because He always brings us something new. Because He has done marvelous things, and He's done marvelous things in your life. Why? Because God has sent us salvation because of who He is. And finally, Because God comes to judge the earth. Because God comes to judge the earth. Look verse 9 with me. Verse 9 says, let all these things praise the Lord. Let these songs happen. Let the floods clap. Let the hills be joyful together. Verse 9, before the Lord. For He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity. Listen, God is coming. He's coming. God is coming to judge the earth. That always reminds me of Revelation chapter number 19. Why don't you turn your Bibles with me there? Revelation 19, where it says that Jesus is coming again. He's coming to get us and take us home, but then He's coming again. And when He comes that time, guess what? We get to come with Him. I look forward to the day. I've never ridden a horse before in my life. And the Bible says we're going to be coming on white horses. I'll be the one falling off, so you'll know who I am. But the great thing about Revelation chapter 19, the great thing that ought to bring us to praising God is that we don't even have to fight. Amen. You know what we are? We're God's cheerleading crew. We're Jesus's, get them, Lord, get them, go get them. Amen, praise the Lord. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, starting in verse number 11, it says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. You know, you can't call any man or woman in this world faithful and true, but we can call Jesus faithful and true. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heavens, Psalm 2 says, shall laugh, because He is coming to judge the world. Oh man, you don't know what's going on in the news. You don't know what's going on in the world. You don't know what's happening, Pastor. How can you be joyful? What's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. Uh-uh. No, there's nothing wrong with me. I know God is still in control. He deserves to be praised because He's going to come back, and we get to come with Him and sit on those horses and watch Him overcome those armies by just opening His mouth and crushing the enemies that are before Him. That's going to be a terrible day for the nations and the people of earth who refuse to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and Jesus Christ is their Savior. It's going to be a day of judgment and wrath against all who reject God's offer of salvation, those who follow the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist. But it's going to be a day of rejoicing for Christians. For those who have called on the name of the Lord, the ones that are riding on the white horses and falling off. But let me tell you something. We don't have to wait until then. God has done some wonderful things for me. He's given me a great family. He's given me great kids. All healthy. God has taken care of them. I got two wonderful daughters, and I'd say two wonderful boys, but you know. But God has given me that. I think He deserves to be praised. Not just on Sunday, but on Monday. Not just on Father's Day. Not just on Mother's Day. Not just Easter. Not just Christmas. But every day He deserves to be praised. Every day He deserves to be praised. Hey, who cares if people frown at you when you're praising the Lord? Who cares if people look at you strange because you have a smile on your face? Who cares if you want to just say amen in church? I was sitting in the church service recently. Sitting in there, and there was this lady. She was sitting up in the front row, almost in the front row. And somebody off to the side over here said, "Amen, preacher." And that lady just went. And I thought, what's wrong with that? Amen. Amen. God deserves to be praised. God deserves it. Listen, hey, we have every right to praise Him. Do you have a song in your heart? One of my favorite hymns, written by Luther Bridgers. What is that song? He keeps me singing. Is that it? The one by? You have a hymn book? Where is that?
I think it's 205.
Is that 205? Is that it? All right. This is what I was saying. It just hit me. I'm sorry. All right. Turn your hymn books to 205. I want you to look at something. You don't have to stand yet, but just look at it. This hymn was written by Luther Bridgers. I like this song. He keeps me singing. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Peace, peace. Listen, fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all life's ebb and flow. You know what ebb and flow is, right? That's the good times and the bad times. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Luther Bridgers, he was a preacher. He was an evangelist. He went preaching with his family one weekend, and he took his family on the trip because his mother-in-law lived out near where they were going. As they traveled out there, they stopped at the mother-in-law's, and he dropped off his kids and his wife, and he went on to the meeting to preach the meeting. But while he was gone at the meeting, there was a fire in his mother-in-law's house. When he got back to his mother-in-law's house, he saw the fire and how everything was destroyed. And his mother-in-law and father-in-law came up to him and said, "I'm sorry, Luther Bridgers. I'm sorry. Your wife and your kids were killed in that fire." And right after that, he wrote, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Only somebody who has something to praise about could write a song like that after such a hard time." Oh, but Pastor, I spilled my coffee. Still can praise the Lord. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what has happened in my family. You can still praise the Lord. Because God's going to have the ultimate victory, no matter what. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you stand to your feet with me? I don't know how the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. Maybe there's some in here that are struggling with some hardships or difficulties, a death in the family or loved ones that are sick or hurting or in pain. Maybe it's a fighting that's going on within your family. It's been going on for years. Whatever it is, listen, God will have the victory. And God deserves our singing and our praise. He deserves to be praised. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that says, "Pastor Brent, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd get to go to heaven." The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nothing we can do or say can get us to heaven. We can't get to His glory. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." That means payment. The payment for the sin that we have in our lives is that word death, which is also mentioned in Revelation, which says death and hell were lifted up and cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Our punishment is eternity in a dreadful place of burning and suffering for all eternity, and oh, we deserve it. But the rest of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." A gift is something free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to serve for it. It's something that you just ask for and receive. Just take it. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Let me say that again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, not might, shall be saved. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that says, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? You say, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to get it taken care of today. You say, that's me. Anybody at all? Anybody? I see that hand. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. Pastor will pray for you. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that says, I'm suffering, but I want to praise the Lord. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Is there anybody like that? Anybody at all? You say, that's me. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. See the hand. God bless you. God bless you over here. All these hands raised. Maybe there's just somebody out here that says, you know what? I need a change to where I can sing and praise the Lord every day of the week. Would you pray for me that I'll be able to do that? Is there anybody like that? Anybody at all? God bless you. Lots of hands. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Hey, we have something to sing about. Pastor.
Father, we thank you for the time we get to come boldly to your throne of grace and all these many needs across the room. And Lord, now is the time that we just need to go ahead and give them to you. Pray you touch each heart. We ask it. Piano organ.